Hi, I'm Solara Starr and welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. With over 20 years of experience, I've had the privilege of working with thousands worldwide and sharing my expertise across various media platforms. This podcast is your go-to resource for mastering manifestation and unlocking your ultimate magnetism. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and let's dive in. And a very warm welcome back. Solara here. As always, an absolute pleasure to be with you. I'm going to kick off this episode with a little bit of a mind bender. And this is, what if the problem that you're experiencing isn't the problem at all? What if it's the perception of the problem that is the problem that you are experiencing? Quite often, it's the meaning that we give to something that creates more of the issue than the actual thing itself. And that's what we're going to be exploring today. So my intention for this is to help bring you some relief with any challenges that you are experiencing at the moment, and actually look at what the real issue behind the issue actually is. And I'm a great believer that with this understanding, we have the power to change our experience of the challenges, not just the challenges we're experiencing now, but this is something that can empower us moving forward as well, so that we don't get lost in all of these illusions that we experience, the meaning making, the stories that we tell ourselves around things. And from a law of attraction perspective, it helps to keep our vibration on point, laser focused, strong, vibrating on a high frequency, because we're no longer buying into the problem paradigm. So once again, it's not the problem that's the problem. It's the meaning that you're making about the problem that is creating the suffering that you are experiencing. I'm going to say this right now. If this has already landed and you can think of somebody who is getting lost in challenges and triggers, send this episode to them, because I think it's so important that we have something that can intercept our journey in the moments we need it most, so that we don't get too lost in the illusion that we have created. So sit with that for a moment, because most of us, and this is in my experience, have been conditioned to actually believe it's the problem that's the problem. We've been taught that if something feels difficult, if it feels challenging, if it feels emotional, if it feels overwhelming, then it must be the actual situation itself that's causing all of that suffering. But what I see time and time again in my own life, but also in the countless people that I've worked with over the years, is that two people can experience the exact same challenge, the exact same situation, and have completely different emotional realities. One would move through it with clarity, feeling calm and grounded, excited maybe that it's a problem-solving opportunity, that it's something to overcome, something that's going to create and build strength within their system. And generally, they're going to trust that they have what it takes to overcome the challenge. Whereas the other person would spiral, think of all the worst-case scenarios, question absolutely everything, not trust themselves, outsource their power to other people asking for opinions. And for many people, that will actually feel like their world is completely collapsing. And the thing is, it's exactly the same situation. It's the same situation, but it's a completely different experience. So what actually is creating such a difference in that experience? And it's, in my experience, I feel like I'm saying that word a lot at the moment, it's the lens that we are viewing the challenge through. Now, that lens is made up of life experiences, the things that have happened to us in the past, things that we've witnessed happening. Some of it's kind of ancestral stuff, some of it's systemic stuff. Regardless of what it is, we're looking at the challenge through a specific lens. And when I say lens, I'll give it a bit more context, actually. Talking as about the subconscious programming. So it's a lot of the stuff that you may not even remember from your past experiences, from your wounds, from the stories that these experiences and wounds have formed about yourself when you were younger, that you don't even realize that you're carrying it into adulthood. And we basically tell ourselves, unintentionally, of course, a whole load of lies about our deservability, about our worthiness, about our capability, And we're comparing ourselves left, right, and center as a result of these subconscious programs that are playing out. And here's what happens. So something neutral and something mildly challenging happens in your external world. It might be somebody taking a little bit longer to message you back. It might be you feeling a little bit of a shift in somebody else's energy, or perhaps last minute, maybe a plan changes. Somebody forgets that you were meant to meet up and you feel a sense of let down, and all these different programs are activated as a result. So all of this is basically feedback. And I love what Peter Crone says, that whenever we're triggered by something, it's actually showing us where we are not free within ourselves. So if we could look at these kind of triggers and situations as feedback, just completely isolated and on its own, no emotional connection to whatever the event might be, and just take it that it is just information, it's literally just data, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because then we would move through it with so much ease and it would feel so much more effortless. But your system doesn't experience it as neutral. And this is where the problem is not the problem, or the problem we think is the problem is not the problem. It's how we experience it in our system. So it doesn't experience it as neutral. It runs through your internal filter, which is multi-layered based on your previous experiences. And if that filter, for example, is shaped by something like, I'm not good enough, or I just get rejected, I'm rejected, I'm abandoned, or I'm not important enough, I'm not chosen, or something like that, then that situation, it does not stay small at all. It absolutely gets amplified. It gets distorted, it gets amplified. And before you know it, you're not even responding to what is actually happening anymore. You're responding to what you perceive it means about you as a person. I did watch a reel a couple of days ago, and I found this quite interesting, actually. I've been working with inner child work for many, many years. And the level of response when we are triggered is an indicator of how young we are when that wound was activated. So say, for example, completely over the top in response, massively triggered, vile language, whatever it might be, that goes to show how young you were. And I think that's really important. And sometimes that can be helpful information for when we are doing that deeper healing work on ourselves. So when the wound takes the lead in these situations, this is where most of us lose ourselves. We don't even realize that it's happening, because instead of recognizing that a wound from when we were younger has been activated unintentionally, of course, and sometimes without any control whatsoever, we fully buy into the story that that wound is telling. But actually, we're so reactive on the surface, we don't even know all of this stuff is happening underneath. We don't even know about the wound and it's been activated, and how old was I when I felt this feeling? And actually, it's activating a belief about myself as a person, because we get so carried away in the moment when we're not even able in that moment to regulate enough to see that there's something deeper going on. So instead of noticing, it's like, okay, that's tapping into an insecurity of mine. Like, that's tapping into my belief that I'm not good enough, or more of a fear of rejection. But actually, our system hears it, that I am rejected, or I'm a reject. And that's really sad. But anyway, back on track, it becomes, you know, this whole story then around the situation. Like, they don't care about me. If I was important to them, they would have this. Or, you know, I'm just not good enough, because if I was good enough, then X, Y, and Z would have happened. So instead of, okay, this is bringing up an insecurity and a fear that I'm not good enough, it becomes, I've done something wrong, I'm a bad person, or something like that. So we end up then going into overdrive to try and prove to the external world that we are a good person and that we haven't done anything wrong. And it feels like this is so unjust. But actually, what we're really trying to do is prove to ourselves that we are okay, that we are enough, that we are important and wholesome and complete. So it's almost like the world mirrors back to us what we have unresolved within ourselves. And then when we get upset by it, when we get triggered by it, it's like we're shouting at a mirror. And unfortunately, that's not where the change happens. The change happens inside our system where it was created. And we know when we've healed that aspect of self, because the same trigger will come along and we're no longer activated by it in the same way. And quite often when these stories that we tell ourselves take hold, our mind does what it's designed to do. It then starts to gather more evidence to prove the story we're telling ourselves is correct. It's quite crazy, really, how powerful the mind is in that regard. So that evidence collecting, we then start to notice more things in our reality to confirm, well, I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy, but none of it was true in the first place. It was an illusion created by our younger experiences. So it just keeps replaying these past experiences, and it will always fill in the gap with assumptions. Now, all of this is coming from your survival aspect of self, because underneath all of this, it's a need to feel like we belong. It's a need to feel safe. It's a need to feel accepted. And we go to such great lengths out in our external world to try and make ourselves feel better. And we kind of notice that it's a thirst that we can't quench after a while, because it doesn't matter how much we shout at the mirror, nothing generally changes until we go in and work with changing the actual program itself. And I think the whole narrative that the wound creates, it feels very real. It's incredibly convincing and often very, very painful. And I want you to know that I totally acknowledge that I've experienced the painful, incredibly convincing stories that I've told myself. And actually, it's really helpful to have episodes like this and other great podcasters and coaches to help pull you out of that space when you need it most. You don't get lost in that illusion. And I think there is a part that is so important that if you don't hear anything other than the opening sentence, the problem isn't the problem, it's the perception of the problem that's the problem, and this, and you take away these two things from this episode, I think it's going to be really useful, is that none of these stories we tell ourselves, and even deeper than that, none of these core wounds are even true. They're not the truth. It's just one big lie. It's a projection, and it's the past trying to make sense of our present. And it feels so real because it is still alive in our body. It's unresolved emotional issues that are still very much alive. And like I said, the key word there is unresolved. And it takes a huge amount of compassion and learning to be compassionate with yourself in order to begin healing these mistruths. And I think it's important to know that when we're triggered, whether it's a tiny trigger or a massive trigger, it's not you being dramatic. It's not you being overreactive. It's definitely not you being too sensitive. That's massively gaslighting. This is your nervous system. It's doing its job. It's working overtime to try and keep you safe. Because if you have experienced emotional pain in the past, especially in your earlier years, your system becomes very, very good at scanning everything and anything that remotely resembles that experience. And it does it because your system is trying to protect you. It's lovingly trying to protect you. It's doing a best it can until you're able to figure this stuff out and to start doing it yourself. So essentially, it's saying, oh my goodness, I felt this before. This is painful. And when I felt this before, it didn't feel safe. So let's get ahead of it. Let's do everything we can to stop the pain from escalating. And this is the preemptive striking that we speak about. So the preemptive striking is then all about overthinking. We even start in certain circumstances, depending what it is, we start to shut down emotionally and maybe begin to pull away a little bit. Start trying to control the situation. I think that is a big part of it, because our fear and the survival mechanism wants to go into control to stop the pain from escalating. So the issue with that is we then start to create problems that weren't there in the first place. So it's that kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. And we do that because we want to feel a sense of safety and a sense of certainty in our system. And all of this is happening, not because the situation isn't manageable either, because our perception has turned into something much bigger than it actually is. And that's the illusion of the problem, which is the problem. So what we start to see is that the problem you think you're dealing with isn't the issue. Do we get so lost in over here when we think that's the problem? It's not where it started. The real issue is actually the meaning attached to it and then the action we take based on the meaning that we have given it. And this is where things get really empowering, because meaning is something that you are creating even unconsciously. So it's also something that you can now begin to question. It is also something that you can now begin to interrupt, and you can start asking yourself, like, okay, I'm really triggered in this situation. What am I making this mean? What am I making this mean about myself? That's quite a big question. And I find in my coaching, because we're not used to asking these questions, because we're so used to getting lost in the illusions, it takes a little bit of practice to get to the core belief. And that's something I'm more than happy to help you out with if you want to book a one-off session so you can work through some of the meaning-making, get to these core beliefs. It does save a bit of time when you have somebody else working with you on it. Equally, if it's something you're well-versed at, you might come up with something like, well, I'm making it mean that it's making me feel like I'm not important. I feel like I don't matter. I feel like I'm the bad person. I feel like I am beneath them, whatever it might be. It's usually, what do I believe about myself as a person? And then we can ask, is that actually true? Like, or is that just coming from an old version of me that hasn't fully healed yet? Because it's not the truth. And this is another thing that I really like, what Peter Crone said in one of his reels that I watched recently was, so if we were to open you up and see a label, would it say, my name is, I don't know, I'm just going to make this up, Brenda Murphy, and I don't belong, and I don't matter, and I'm not important? It's like, absolutely no, you're never going to find that. It is a lie that we have been telling ourselves for way too long, based on a wound that is still unresolved in our system. And you actually find that quite often the situation that you are experiencing is actually quite workable. You have the abilities and the capabilities to overcome the challenge, and you are safe, and you will definitely be able to work it through, and the right people at the right time will come to help you with whatever that might be. So whether it's communicating or getting clarity or just waiting in some respects, whether that's be responding calmly or just taking a moment just to regulate your own system before responding at all. And sometimes you don't even need to do or say anything when you're regulated, because it's only the dysregulation that creates you, that it's only the dysregulation that takes you into the space of needing to overwork to prove your worth. But when the wound is driving those options, they don't even feel available. And that's why working with someone or having a trusted friend who is into this kind of mindset work is really, really important. Let's just be honest, like when we feel triggered, everything just feels urgent. There's this adrenaline, there's this push, there's this drive. And it's been massive for me of learning to take that space and overcut and pause before charging in, because everything, like I said, feels urgent, everything feels heightened, everything feels charged, everything feels massively personal as well. But when we step out of those narratives, we are able to shift in real time our perception of the issue. And I think that's the biggest thing, is having that awareness around it, because without awareness, there's no change. Without awareness, there's no door that we can walk through to the next level of our experience. And I don't mean like the kind of awareness where you just analyze it to death, because that's kind of like another protective mechanism all in itself. It's just very simply just noticing, oh, okay, this feels big in my system. There's something deeper being activated here. There's a deeper level of my healing. And that alone creates a small amount of space between you and the story in order to regulate yourself in the way necessary to get to that next level. And I think it's really important as well as practicing on naming what that wound is. Like, okay, this is triggering a past story. Step one, okay, this is my fear. What am I scared of? It's my fear of rejection, my fear of not being good enough, my fear of not being seen, my fear of not being heard, my fear of being abandoned, maybe fear of what people think of me. Because I think when you name it, it stops us unconsciously acting from it. And then the next part, and this is where most people just stop and skip, but you can bring your awareness back to yourself, but also question the narrative rather than what the wound is telling you. You can question that, and you know, not in like a brutal, obnoxious way. It's just like, oh, okay, so is that actually true? Is it actually completely true that I'm not good enough? Is it completely true that I'm not going to be able to handle this situation? Is it completely true that actually I'm not safe in this moment? Because when we are then able to really look at it for what it is, and that it's the lie that we've been living, we're able to then move to that next level of our own healing. And there's a big difference between having an awareness around it and then taking yourself to the next step of figuring out what the wound is, but then asking yourself, is this absolutely true? Like, what evidence do I have that supports that I'm not good enough, that I'm just a reject, that I'm not important? And you may then go back into being triggered and look at the situation that's triggered you in the first place. But if you can put that aside and actually look more holistically at your whole life, if let's just say if one of your wounds are I'm not important, there's definitely people in this world that you're very important to them. They love you very, very much, and they love you just the way you are as well. So it may be one person triggering a wound, but if you look holistically at the evidence, I think you're going to see a completely different story. So at this point, what your system actually needs isn't more thinking. It isn't more rejection. It isn't more triggering. It just needs you to come back to your body. And what may be helpful in those moments is slowing your breath. I say maybe because there's nothing worse than when you're triggered and somebody says, just breathe. You kind of just want to throw punch them. It's like, I'm too triggered to breathe right now. But you may just want to just take time out. Just remove yourself from an environment. And sometimes, you know, it's worth it if it's responding to someone or a situation. I love the ancient philosophy of leaving something for 3 days before even responding. If you have the time to be able to do that, depending on the nature of the trigger. It could just be give yourself 10 minutes, give yourself 3 days. And quite often you'll find you've worked through a lot of the initial intensity, which means that you're then able to move to the next level of awareness and to the next step that we've discussed in here. Because let's face it, when you're removed from a situation, when you're regulated, your perception naturally changes anyway. And you don't even have to force yourself to think differently. You just start seeing things more clearly. And that's big, like, because what felt like this big, huge, overwhelming Hulk type experience in your system becomes something quite simple, something that you absolutely can handle, something that you don't need to turn into a whole identity story about who you are. And I think that's the most important thing here. So if you take anything away from this episode, like I said, the two things, the problem isn't often the problem. It's your perception of the problem that's the problem. And also, what is like the core wound? What is really going on here? Because before you try to solve the problem, just pause and look at the lens that you are viewing it through. You may not be dealing with a difficult situation in the way you thought you were, but you might be dealing with a familiar wound that's coloring the situation in a way that isn't actually true either. And the moment that you can see this clearly, even if it's just a little bit clearer, you're going to start to feel more empowered and less out of control and less reactive. And that's where everything will change for sure. I've had to do a lot of work around this. I've had to practice a lot. It's definitely worth it. So if this resonated with you and you're starting to recognize these patterns in your own life too, this is exactly the type of work I do. So you can go to my website and go to the one-to-one coaching tab. I'll put a link in the show notes. And I think it's important to take yourself to a point where you're not just talking about these surface level situations, you're actually doing some healing around them. And if you would like to get to the root of some of these patterns, because you can't quite grasp them yourself, and some of the subconscious programming and some of the emotional responses that are driving your experience, reach out, www.solarastar.com. And if you want something that will support you straight away, I have a free ebook for you, Your Energetic Reset, which will help you get to a point where your system feels much more regulated, and in turn, changing the lens in which you're viewing a lot of your challenges through in real time. For now, it's been absolutely beautiful to be with you. Thank you for being here, and I will chat with you soon, same time next week, in fact. Take care. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Solara Star podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you never miss out. And you can stay connected with me on Instagram at Solara Star. And for even more inspiration and explore my courses and coaching at solarastar.com. You deserve to live a deeply connected and fulfilling life. And it's only you that can make it happen.